Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
Sean, it's Christmas Eve.
It's Christmas Eve, man.
It's that time of year where people just wander in and out of the bars trying to find that other lonesome soul that's by themselves this holiday season and then bang it out. And that's what Christmas Eve is all about. I know that a lot of people have their own individual traditions, but I think that this is probably the most popular in a contemporary setting is just the bar crawl leading up to an end of the night bang sesh, followed by maybe some weeping and some written poetry late into the night going into Christmas morning.
That sounds about accurate to me on this side over here. It sounds nothing but 100% accuracy right there.
So if people are listening to this now, they're probably planning that bar crawl, that late night bar crawl to find that other lonely person.
Yeah, maybe they're going to be on the bike together that you pedal through town where the whole town hates you except the 8 or 9 people that are pedaling and jacking up traffic in any downtown city in America. The pedal bikes where you're getting shit canned. And maybe you meet her on there.
And depending on where you live, it could be a snowmobile instead of a bike.
It could be.
Maybe you live in the UP of Michigan. You know, maybe you live in Alaska. Maybe you are going to the bars on a sled pulled by reindeer. Maybe even a moose. I don't know. Maybe a bunch of sled dogs.
Yeah, sled dogs, man. That's the way to go. You want to get a pack of those dogs. Maybe a moose out front, too. Those things can haul ass.
Oh, they
maybe get a couple of moose. I don't know. I don't know why people. I mean, even if it's a light load, you know, I'm not trying to put a workload on a moose back right now. But I'm saying for fun, like we ride horses, we could. Those moose are like 20-foot tall or something. They're like 12-foot tall. Have you seen how monstrous they are?
They are gigantic. Now, what do you call like a herd of moose? Is it called a moose lodge?
I don't know, but I know that there's definitely people that hang out. I mean, look, the Moose Lodge is a good spot, and it's only good vibes, and that's part of the reason is because the moose itself is an unbelievable animal.
I don't know that there would be anything sadder than a Christmas Eve night at the Moose Lodge. Just a bunch of...
It depends on who you are. I don't know.
I mean, it could be... It's kind of my hangout, but I think for most people, it could be sad. Just a bunch of people that drink too much, have no real, you know, family situation for the holiday to go to. And, you know, just a lot of darts being thrown. Maybe that bowling game where it's the actual metal pins that fold down when the ball crosses. That's a good one.
Maybe shuffleboard playing, a little shuffleboard.
Yeah, if you're at a fancier lodge, you might have a little shuffleboard going on.
Maybe you give you a nice little few seconds to maybe grab the little container of the sand and maybe give her a little, you know, little sprinkle.
Maybe jump in on the 50-50 raffle that's going to happen at 10 p.m.
Strong chance that they're doing karaoke in the other room.
I enjoy that.
Maybe pick a song.
That. There might be a poker tournament. I don't know what goes on at your individual moose lodges. But let's just say if you go there and you're a dude, you have your picking. Like if a woman goes to the Moose Lodge by herself or with just other girlfriends on Christmas Eve, she's looking to make a new friend for the night.
Dad, I'd have to say it's pretty strong, pretty accurate. It's just more accuracy pouring out of your skull tonight, Todd.
She's not going there for the tenderloin special, you know? She's going there to find someone to keep that bed warm that night.
Yep.
Maybe if you've got nothing else going on this Christmas Eve, maybe you think about going to your local Moose Lodge. You might have to sign up for a membership, But
it's only probably like $100 a year or something. It's not that expensive, man.
No, it's worth it. It's worth
it. Camaraderie.
You get into the video bowling league for free. That's what I'm saying.
Then the video bowling is legit, man. It's much easier than top golf. You know what I mean? Less decision making.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And if you have a bad back, can still play. Yeah. You're in a wheelchair, can still play.
You're in there. You know?
There's no real.
There's nothing that can really hold you back, is what you're saying.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I bet you the top golfs are busy this time of year. Now that you
actually,
say
I meant I meant the game. What's the game with the ball? I fucked up there.
Golden Tee.
Yeah, I meant Golden Tee, not top golf, bro. But you know what? Listen, that probably threw some people off. But look, we're past that.
I bet you the top golfs are busy.
I know they're got to be humongously busy.
Guys like me. Girls like me are looking for that alternative Christmas experience, you know? Well, my kid's grown. There's no woman here with me for Christmas. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's a good option. I'll have to Google and see if they're open on Christmas Eve, but I would venture to say they are.
So you're ready to just call it a Christmas over at the lodge, over at the Moose Lodge, get some games in.
Maybe I'll go to the Moose Lodge. You know, I don't know if it's bingo or not, what's going on that night.
Bingo is popping, though, when money's on the line. I'll play bingo all day.
Bingo is a blast. Those old ladies in there playing bingo are aggressive as fuck. They are serious about their bingo. Let them catch you calling off bingo when you don't actually have bingo.
They're down to catch a body, homie.
Oh, you're going to get a purse full of lifesavers right across the skull.
They're going to roll up on you. Listen, Agnes, I don't know what's going on over here, but you don't have bingo. Look right there. B32 hasn't even been called. Null it. Nullify the bingo. They can roll back, dude. They're going to come check you, man. Don't fuck the game up, bro. There's a system. It's a numbers game, right? You got to get the many games in as you can with your cards.
Mm-hmm.
No time for bullshit, bro.
And there's so many different ways to win, you know. There's the corn. I don't even remember all the ways to win, but there's several, obviously. Some people like to. I used to go to the casino on Christmas Day.
I like that move. Like you would and have, your dad?
You would have. Usually it was just me and a bunch of my boys that I grew up with. We would go on Christmas Eve night, and I think – I can't remember here in Indiana, they don't serve alcohol until like 6 p.m. or something. So you have to wait for that. But after that point, it's on. I mean, it's just a bunch of dads getting away, you know, because we were all like divorced dads. So we had our kids like in the morning and then it was switch off time. Tag, you're
right. Link up with the squad at night.
Yeah, going to the casino now. It was always a good time.
You got a little extra money and shit, divorce. You know what I mean? Oh, man, that's nice. Shelby County divorced homies hanging out on Christmas Eve at the casino out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Nothing like it. Nothing like it.
Oh, man. We used to go to the casino a lot, but you know what they did? I lived off the casino for a little bit because they used to have a program at this casino in Yuma, Arizona what's the name of the casino? I'll remember in a minute. Anyways, it's
Caesars.
No, there's only one. There's two. It's the Q. It's some of the Q, and then there's Coco Paw.
Oh.
But you would get Coco Paw. They were doing 5 for 5, or it was 10 for 10, or some shit. Where you get $10, you come in and cash in $10 to play in the slots, and they'll give you $20 in quarters.
Oh wow, that's one of those Native American casinos, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little looser.
So you go out to the casino. I'll be like, dude, I gotta get my $10 today, dude. And then you go out there, and then you get your $20 or your $10 in quarters. I think it might have been 5 for 5. And then you get your extra 5. You go walk around with your cup of quarters like you're going to go play. And then you just don't play, and then you just cash out. You might play a couple 50 cents or something, or a dollar. But
yeah.
But and then sometimes you hit for 20, and you're like, boom! So now you got $30, dude.
Nice. Did you do very many casino gigs back in the day?
Do a decent amount. I did do a decent amount of casinos, a lot with Fluffy, obviously, like a ton of casinos with Fluffy.
Yeah, well, those
I did all
count.
The best casinos with Fluffy, no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, my casino gigs are much better now, like Rhythm City, like it's a real show in a real comedy room.
Yeah.
But like back in the day, I would do those Yoda run casinos, man. And
oh, yeah?
They were like, you would put you in this bar and there'd be a little stage mm-hmm. in the corner and then you would do your show. And there was a full like MC feature and headliner, yeah. but no one was there for the comedy show. It was just, there was no admission. It was just, mm-hmm. hey, you're going to entertain these people that have run out of money that are just going to trickle in here and start ordering Cokes.
Yeah.
Because they're not gambling. They don't get their free alcohol. And they would just sit there miserable, broke as fuck, and just stare at you while you try to tell jokes.
That's just earning it, dude. That money is just hard earned, dude, up there.
Sucking when you the know, life like, out of you.
Even like sometimes you know you can, you know, like I think I can crack these guys, you know? Or you're like, I think they can come around. You start seeing some people. And then you're like, but then sometimes you're looking out and you're like, this is going to be. This is not going to be one laugh for 45 minutes. And that's yeah. just, and I just got to run through it and pretend in my brain that these people are having the time of their life.
It was just a room full of, and by room full, I mean 12 to 14 people, all 80-year-old fun vampires. Like, and I don't mean like they were vampires that were great to be around. I mean, they were vampires that sucked instead of blood, they sucked the fun. Right out of
here. Oh, like they were fun vampires.
You could feel all the fun. You almost could see uh-huh. it like vapors leaving your body, and they were just sucking it in like.
Didn't you get one time they sucked the fun out of you with no shirt on so you could actually see like on a serious level of watching the fun being sucked out of yourself? Was that right?
Yeah, and I saw one of these 80-year-old fun vampires uh-huh. actually suck the fun out of my body, and then once right before it got to his mouth – took the tenderloin off his bun, put my fun, the fun of my soul mm-hmm. on the bun with lettuce, with tomato, mayonnaise, and ate it.
That's nice. That is nice. It's a decent recipe.
Yeah, and I was like, but it's hard $200 to get that. You gotta, is so worth it.
Yeah, you gotta be, yeah. you gotta, you know, listen, that's, you're committed to your craft at that point. You gotta learn how to suck the fun first where you can really slap it on a sandwich and fuck it up even more.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's some spots, dude. I did a bunch of Indian casinos all over Arizona, New Mexico. There's plenty in California. They're you know, you never know what you're going to get. You never know what you're going to get.
The ones that really, like, promote, we have comedy night, and there's a separate room for it, and we mm-hmm. do sell tickets and all that. Like, those can be fun. But the ones that just stick you in there, like you're going to be the lounge singer that sits in the corner and just fucking is background noise for people that are broke, go well.
Did you ever watch that episode of Louie when he does the casino gig and it's basically exactly what we're explaining?
Yes.
And he's just decides he's on the fucking side room and they're, yeah. The best one of the coolest things though. Well, the coolest thing is you get, you know, when you roll like a big like Fluffy, when we roll Fluffy through the casino,
yeah,
we'd have 10 armed guards rolling with us through the casino. So that was always awesome, right?
Nice.
And then, you know, you're going through all the back doors and shit, and you get to get all this cool little back access, running, walking through shit. And they're all such huge fans of them. So we get away with extra. When we were at the Borgata, we got keys. We got the keys one time. They gave us an employee badge to go to the cafeteria, like the employee lounge area where it's all free.
Uh-huh.
So you just roll. We're rolling in there hammered, fucking just shoving food on our plates like assholes at like 4 a.m. one time at the Borgata. And that felt so cool, though. You back there posted up with the employees and shit. Excuse me, about to get some mashed potatoes.
The casino I was working at for the state police for a year in Lawrenceburg, Indiana. There used to be the Bengals. A lot of Bengals would come over and gamble there. And the occasional cult, but we were closer to Cincinnati. So I remember this one. I can't remember. He was a quarterback. Jeff Blake, maybe? African-American quarterback for the Bengals. I think that was his name. But he would come in with this lady. And every time, I mean, she was notorious. You just knew she was going to create a scene every time. She would get so drunk, and she was so super hot. I mean, she was like a supermodel. But she would get so fucking drunk and create a scene every time. And then poor Jeff Blake, God, I hope that's his name. But he would just sit in the background and just watch and shake his head. And so every time.
Oh, tough spot.
My buddy ended up kind of having some rapport with her. We dealt with her so much. Like, he was the only one that could talk to her and talk her off the ledge.
Yeah.
But I would just stand over by him, and I'm like, yeah, this sucks, bro. And he's like, every fucking time. And I go, yeah, I don't know how you keep doing it. And he goes, look at her. That's how I keep doing it. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
All right, buddy. But you know what, dude? I don't know. I mean, look, I get it. I get it. But at some point, what do you, there's only so much you can put up with, dude. It's yeah. like, no, I don't know about all that. But Gabe, more, hey, shout out to him for pulling it off, bro, going mm-hmm. through it. But I can't imagine rolling to the casino and my lady becomes a security issue every time because she's an alcoholic fucking maniac. That's insanity. And then you just sit on the sidelines like, nah, don't worry. It's all good. Let her do her thing. We're just going to drive home and have sex. Like, I don't, I mean, that's really what you're saying.
I mean, like once or twice is fine, but she was like part of the story. I mean,
you had a security, you had a staff member that built rapport with the lady.
Yes.
Because he argued with her so much.
Mm-hmm. And we even like had the guy's number in our office that was their driver because they would always come in like a limousine service or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And with the same driver every time. So we had on his card on our, in our office on the court board, and we would just call him and be like, hey, we're going to be walking him out again, and he'd be like, all right, I'll meet you at the ramp. We just hand him off to him.
Oh, you know? I love that, dude. That's yeah. That's hilarious.
I love the soap opera. It was the only thing that kept us sane, I think, because you had the same cast of characters. It was almost like Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, we had this heart surgeon who was there every day, and so I don't know when he had time to do surgery. But at one point, his wife called the casino and arranged a meeting, and she came out and she said, you have to ban him for life. He has spent our entire life savings. We're going to have to close our practice down. Like, he is broke. We have lost everything in this casino, and I forget how much he spent there, but, you know, a couple mil, easy.
Man.
So – yeah, and it came to a point where he was coming in. Like, we had to run him off a few times before this because he was, like, asking people for money. And I'm like, he's a fucking heart surgeon, dude. Like, how many people whose hearts are okay have been getting surgery just so he could fund his next casino trip, you know?
Like, what a wild life this guy lives. He cuts people's bodies open, switches out their hearts, takes the cash to the fucking casino and just goes bonkers on the blackjack table and loses it all.
I wonder if he was given like cash discounts. Hey, half off your heart replacement if you pay in cash.
Hey, I'm doing 2-for-1 till Sunday. That's what my markers do. That's man, I'll tell you what, that
75% off if you pay in Argosy chips.
Now that I'm gonna let you guys know right now that went right over my head. I don't know what that means.
Argosy was the name of the casino.
Oh, damn! I wish I knew that. I wish I would have known that.
Yeah, it was crazy.
How you like my little buddy here, dude?
I like it. What do you call those? This neck thing?
I don't know what this thing. You know what? I was just having a few cocktails and I was walking down a street in New York. And I was like, that thing looks warm as fuck.
It's
dude.
One of those, for those not on video, it's like a real thick sweater material, just kind of a pullover yeah. neck thing. But it's big.
But it's kind of bougie also. It's like,
for sure.
You wear it with a nice coat. You can't just be rolling around with this. I mean, I guess you could, it don't matter, but it'll mm-hmm. just kind of look like you're wearing nice boots with fucking jersey on or something. You know what I mean?
I think you look like a special ops guy. I mean, I think you literally could break out.
I can go right there.
M16, like right now.
Yep, I'm ready, bro.
Yeah.
It is. You know, I never wore it enough, so I said I'm just going to wear it for a little while on the podcast today.
I love it. I need to get one.
Terry came out of the room. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, yeah, I just feel like wearing it. She's like, all right. Goofball.
Now, when
when
I come visit you in New Jersey, do I have to have a scarf? Do I need to buy one ahead of time?
It's no colder than Indy, bro. Indy's actually colder.
but isn't it? I know in New York, like if you're walking around without a scarf in the winter,
oh yeah, forget yeah, about it. Yeah, they probably just they kick you out of winter.
Which they do. They do look cool.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you don't want to bring a scarf. I'd say get you a nice scarf, Ty. We want, you know, I got some scarfs. My scarf game though, not that buttoned up. Could get better.
Yeah.
It's obviously not as good as my neck. Like this thing, is this considered a scarf? I don't even think it is.
I think it's the step above a scarf.
This thing is unbelievable. And it's so warm. Like the inside, it's like an inch thick of just wool or some shit. Like one big ass sheep. They crammed all his shit into this one piece.
I want an entire blanket mitt out of it.
Yeah, just over.
And I want to start a fire in the fireplace and just maybe if that one thing that just fits around your neck, if we can make it long enough, I could slide it over my entire body and just sit in it like I'm a corn dog.
That's perfect. But we'll get one that has the color of that's the darker brown that looks like a nice corn dog.
Yes. And maybe put some armholes in there for me where I can put.
Yeah, dude. Up. You know what? That's a good that I think that you would kill it in one of those suits. Like if you were like a corn dog guy, you ran around, promoted corn dogs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe start a little corn dog company. What do you what do you call it?
I don't know. We call it corn dog sweaters. We just call them corn dog sweaters.
Oh, maybe. So you just want to do the sweaters. You don't want to actually open up a business of corn dogs. You don't want to actually open up a small corn dog operation?
Maybe. I don't know if I was looking to go mascot, but I might as mm-hmm. well. If I'm going to walk around in it, I might as well be selling real corn dogs.
You might as well sell real fucking corn dogs, dude.
How good is a corn dog, dude? Like a corn dog truck? Would just, I don't know how you jazz up a corn dog, mm-hmm. but if we could figure out a way to really make like gourmet corn dogs, I haven't seen those around.
I think there is a way to play with the batter for sure.
Uh-huh.
I think the quality and what kind of hot dog in there is really going to matter. You know, do you step it up to do we go to a nice sausage in there? You know? Do we go there to a sausage on a stick with a nice, like a jalapeno cheese sausage, boom, corn dog, though, but with like a cornbread, like a cornbreadish taste to the fried, the dough.
Yeah, no, that's the way to do it. You jazz it up by you get different kinds of sausages and hot dogs that are stuffed with things.
Yeah.
Little pieces of jalapeno, a little cheese in there. Maybe you do a half and half. Maybe you got a half beef, half pork sausage kraut in the middle of it, you know?
Do you put the ketchup and the mustard on every bite? Like, well, by the way, I go ketchup and mustard on corn dog. Please don't tell me in any of the comments or how not to eat a corn dog because I like both of those and it's not fair. They mm-hmm. both deserve to be able to have a shot on the corn dog. But yep. I like to have the squeeze bottles, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then
I enjoy a good half and half, right? So mustard and ketchup mixed together are one of my favorite sauces. I forget the name of it, but I will mix it together. I'll get a cup, mix it half and half, stir it together until it's the right color, and then I will dip every bite of my corn dog into that before it goes in my mouth.
That's a good move right there by you. I know I'm a little bit more meticulous with the whole, I think I need a squeeze bottle where one half is mustard, one half is ketchup.
Oh, so you're squirting ketchup on one side of the corn dog and then mustard on the other side and then eating it that way?
I do it both right on top of the corn dog. Like if it's think about it from a volcano aspect,
uh-huh.
You know, the chopper lands on top of the volcano area, that little area that usually, if you're on there when the shit blows, you're fucked.
Yeah.
That part of the corn dog, when you bite into it and you got that volcano top where you can see, you know, the layer of the corn, the meat and the mm-hmm. breading.
Yeah.
I go squirt, squirt on top, bite.
Nice. I like that. I like that move. Any way that I get equal amounts of the mm-hmm. mustard and ketchup in every bite. I mean,
yes.
My dad used to make a potato chip dip, and it was with Miracle Whip and mustard mixed together.
Okay.
And then you would dip your like, he was a big Ruffles guy. So you would dip the plain Ruffles potato chip into the mayonnaise and mustard mixture.
Okay.
And it was delicious, dude. Like, it was really, really good.
My mom was always notorious for just rolling with the paste pecani and the cream cheese, kid.
What?
Get the Doritos. You put a block of cream cheese down on the bowl, and then you just dump the paste pecani on that shit, and then you just go to work with the Doritos, man.
Fuck me, that sounds delicious. I've never heard of that in my life, Sean.
Yeah, that was the move back then. We get the usually with the Doritos, you get the even extra flavor. You got a lot popping off there.
fucking I love salsa. But you can go
anything.
Salsa.
You can go any of those type of moves. I mean, any Doritos. Kind of. You can go with the Ruffles there, too. The Ruffles can go strong yeah. right there.
Holy shit. That's, I mean, I did have this crab dip before that was pretty much just the imitation crab mm-hmm. mixed up, like blended together with Philadelphia cream cheese until it got kind of fluffy and then coated with cocktail sauce. And okay. then you just eat that with crackers. And that's I like that. Really good. Yeah.
These are all strong moves. You know what I mean? Real strong moves.
And then, you know, you're not going to want to break this out some fancy pantsy fucking cocktail party. But when you're just sitting around at home with your boys, you know, just chilling, watching a little football. These are all great snack ideas.
These are great snack ideas. That's what we're doing. Just hitting you guys with some nice little snack ideas. I'm not getting buck wild on this podcast. It's just ideas about snacks.
You know what else I miss is my mom used to make these snacks with a pickle spear and then cream cheese and then wrap like lunch meat around it.
Okay.
And then put a Q-tip through
like,
it.
Like a Q-tip?
I'm not a Q-tip, a toothpick through it.
Okay. But I say, what's going on?
Mom, I keep getting cotton. What's this, cotton in my mouth? Why are we using Q-tips in my sandwich?
You got to fuck. And that's like your mom was ahead of the keto game, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That seems like that'd be like the keto's move right there.
Yeah, that's real keto shit right there.
Is it keto? Am I saying it wrong?
It's ketosis. So keto would make more sense. But I say keto. But it is ketosis.
Oh, keto. It's keto. My bad. It's not keto, bro. It's keto. Jesus. Get it together. Get it together. I got a $50 refund today, bro.
From what?
I overnighted some gifts to my brother for my little niece and nephew.
Uh-huh.
And it was supposed to be, I did the one day joint. And it was like, the guy was very adamant about it. He goes, if this doesn't get there tomorrow by noon, you get a refund. And it was $50. So I was like, okay, bro. And I just took, I had the receipt in my truck. I was on the ground somewhere in my truck. The packaging didn't come. So I went today, boom. As soon as it lands, your boy goes back in for his $50 back.
Nice.
Nice move. I'm How about it? This. These things, by the way, if you're ever going to buy one of these on the streets of New York, here, a little model for you. Here it is.
You can see the inside there. It's but look at this, full beanie. Full beanie mode, too, like an elf.
Oh, it goes up to your head like a beanie. There you go.
You could be an elf.
I like it. I like it. You know what I was watching the other day and it made me curious about what it was like during this time period is I'm rewatching the three seasons of Deadwood, right?
Uh-huh.
And the old-timey Old West doctor, that profession fascinates me from that time period because...
You mean the homie that rolled in with the bag?
Yeah, he just carried around the little black bag. Like one thing cured everything, you know, pretty much. One treatment for it. You just give everybody a little bit of cocaine. That's what, you know, that. Oh, you got a toothache? Here's some cocaine. Oh,
a little
you got a fever? Here's some cocaine. You got smallpox? Right. Cocaine.
I'd like to prescribe you 12 key bumps. I need 3 in the morning, 3 around the afternoon, 3 more key bumps early evening, and then just before you go out at midnight, 3 more key bumps.
Yeah, everything was cocaine. Mine. And then if it got really bad, let me break out my little elixir, which is actually just liquid heroin. Like, what an easy profession back in the day. Now, I don't think they were making much money. Like, people were paying them in chickens and vegetables.
And beef jerky.
For the most part. But, you know, you always had a place to stay. They usually had a little house they would give the town doctor for as long as he was there until he moved on.
Yeah. You know?
I think it would be cool. I think I could have been a doctor then and just what I know right now. Like if I were to go back in time.
Oh, you think you would have been you think your level of medicine knowledge at this moment, if you go back in like the 1750, you could be a doctor?
Yeah, because I think I'm going to be even more scientific knowledgeable, more knowledgeable on science than a doctor of that time, a true doctor that went to medical school back then. I think I know more than they know. And All I got to do at that point, if you want to do that job, you got to be fairly comfortable with sawing people's arms and legs off, because something gets infected, you got to cut it off. There's no.
That is a tough one. I just that gig. I'm so envious. I'm so thankful for those people that go in and saw off legs on a Tuesday afternoon, 2-3 legs, and then just head on home, go get grab some Olive Garden to go, head home and eat some breadsticks with the fam.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, you cut off. Now listen, obviously it's a good thing. Like, it's so amazing that people can do that, but it's just insanity. You're sawing a dude's leg off 3 times a day on a Wednesday.
I mean, it seems like I probably could get by contracting that out. I just find somebody.
Yeah, you might want to hire off some surgeons. Listen, you're going to be too high up the medical. Like, you're going to be way up in an office position, bro. You're not going to be down in the field anymore.
I think I
You're hiring underneath. You're done.
I think
with
I just
field.
Go over to the sawmill and I'm, or get a couple lumberjacks. Hey, won't you guys, you know, you want to make some money on the side? Every now and then I may have to, like, send a person after you. I was almost said to call you. I can't call you. There's no phones. But I might send a rider your way and you might have to come over and saw, you know, an arm or a leg off.
Did they put. I could do that. I have Wednesdays off.
Wednesdays is amputation day, bro. If you need something cut off, come see me on Wednesday.
The sound of that ward, that hallway of the ward at any hospital. I mean, these people are fucking soldiers, dude. That is just an unbelievable profession.
I mean, that's why they used to call doctors back then sawbones, because that's all they did was just saw people's arms and legs off.
Just fingers, legs, arms, toes. Because you start with the toes. That's how come they're good. They get good by the time the guy needs to come back in, get the foot off, then the whole lower leg.
Oh, you got to hang
That's why
now?
They're good. Like, all right. Oh, okay.
Let me go get my toe saw, because we can't fix a hang now. I mean, it's fucking 1730. What do you want me to do?
I did have a buddy who got his 3 toes on his left foot cut off. And he would always fall down on to his left side after he drank a few cocktails. Like, he'd fall over. Like, the toes are a big deal, dude, when it comes to balance.
Yeah, especially the ones on the outside. I think you can do without
That's
big toe.
That's what he fell all the time, to the left. He never fell to the right.
I had an uncle lost his pinky, got it cut off at a machine at his work. And they took one of his toes that you don't need, took it off, and attached the toe where his pinky is. And you could tell. Like, really? I guess it's better than missing from that bottom knuckle
up.
Yeah,
you still get some grips and shit. You get to grip up.
Yeah, but you could tell it was a toe. Like, you're like, that's not a finger, bro. That's a toe, Uncle. I can see it.
That's number 7 right there. That's number 12. All right, that didn't fly what I said, but whatever. Keep moving.
But Megan Fox, she has the toe thumbs. You notice? Like, if every now and then they try to avoid her hands in shots, but every now and then you catch one.
She has big toes as thumbs?
She has, because she has the real short end. They look like big toes.
You know, you're going to have to get a lighter with a bigger zip part on it. Because if you have a big toe as a thumb and you try to hit the lighter, it's still going to burn your thumb because it's too close to the flame.
I wonder.
You're going to have to widen the wheel that sparks the fire. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Do you think she can run real fast on her hands? Like, from a handstand position? Like, she's really fast because she has toe thumbs?
I think that if she bangs her hand into a wall, it's gonna hurt 6 times worse than normal.
Yeah.
Because when you hit your toe on a wall, it hurts way more than when you smack your hand on a wall. Like, my hand just bounces off walls.
Mm-hmm.
But well, you get that big toe.
I read in Variety magazine she always had a lot of trouble before she made it in acting, hitchhiking, because when she would put her thumb out, they're like, "Why is she waving her foot at me?" And they would just get mad and just drive past.
It's weird also because that hair that grows on right under the nail, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
See, my thumb doesn't really do that, but the big toe is going to get that extra little weird, like, under the lip hair.
Yeah.
You know? But on the thumb.
Yeah.
It's kind of werewolfy.
Yeah, and do you have to switch clippers, you know? Because the fingernail clipper and the toenail clipper look much different. The toenail clipper is more bigger. It's industrial size almost. It's got more clunk to it. And so I wonder if, like, does she have to trim, like, the first 4 fingers with the regular fingernail clippers, and then she switches to the toe clippers for the thumb?
That's a really good question. Do you go – yeah, you have to understand, like, because you can't bring a little regular one, it's going to fuck up. You're just going to be ended up buying just new finger clipper after new finger clipper for trying to use it on that big ass toe thumb.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder, like, when she buys new shoes, does she just stick her hand in there and then her mom would feel at the end and be like, oh yeah, you still have this much room left past the toe thumb, so you're good. I don't know.
I mean, it's a wild world. How about fingerprinting? I mean, what's going on with that aspect of the whole thing? You know, like when you put it on there, it's going to roll. It's going to be three times the roll.
Oh yeah. And you're going to be like, oh, somebody messed these up. Who's the jackass that was printing people's feet?
Mm-hmm.
This is clearly a big toe.
Again, listen, people have to understand that we don't just bob and weave on topics. We dive in. It's called getting to the bottom of things.
She could never get away with a murder, because once they got the knife and they dusted it for prints, they would be like, you know, the first detective, less experienced, is going to be like, oh my God, somebody stabbed someone with their foot. They held this knife with their feet and then stabbed the person. And then the experienced detective that's got a little grit, a little more time on, is going to be like, no, it was Megan Fox, dude. Megan Fox killed this person.
Yeah, that's Megan Fox. She's the only person we know with two big toes as thumbs.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big toe next to an index finger. Case closed.
We're so hard on Megan Fox. She's still hot.
Actually, I don't even know. Is that even a thing? I thought you made up the fucking thing.
No, it's a real thing.
For real?
Yeah, she has. If you look at any pictures on the internet of Megan's thumbs, she has the real short end, and it looks like a toe. They call them toe thumbs. It's a thing people are born with.
My buddy Sergio Chincona, he cut his shit off and surged like fucking with a saw.
Mm-hmm.
He got one of his finger. He's one of his. He got the shocker. He's a funny ass comic, bro. He's one of my favorite comedians of all time.
Yeah,
he's so funny. Uh-oh.
It's Ari.
My dog barking. Listen, Ari is a watchdog. People have to understand. I have a warrior living in my house.
Mm-hmm.
A 20-pound warrior. You heard that bark?
She's always on point, bro. Nothing gets by. You can walk two houses away, walk by. She's going to be on it.
I think when you come in her area and she doesn't really know you, she's like, who is this dude? He's a problem, man. He's a problem until he's not a problem. Yeah. And you have to respect that from the min pin. You know, she doesn't play. I got a little game out of fetch out of her. You know, she's only 7, almost 8, but I got a nice game of fetch today in with her with a wiffle ball. You know, we went some walks. She's holding down the fort. You know, you could have all the security systems you want, but if you really want to know, a system with a sixth sense, get a min pin. And I'll tell you another thing. This dog is a cuddle queen of history.
Oh yeah, great cuddle.
She's awesome.
Why are dogs way better watch animals than cats? Like, cats just weren't born with it. They're not out looking around, and they're not alerting you to danger or possible danger. They're just walking around like they don't give a fuck. Every dog is born with the watchdog gene.
Mm-hmm.
There's no watch cat.
And not only are they watchdogging it, they will die for you.
Mm-hmm.
This thing will try to pull you out in front of a train or fucking go after a dude with a gun. I mean, it doesn't matter how big it's showtime.
I respect cat life people. My son has like 30 cats, so I respect it. But
boy, Bailey.
But no cat is going to step between you and an attacker. Someone breaks into your house, no house cat's going to jump in and be like,
get off my dad.
They're just going to be like, well, I guess I got something to eat later. You know?
There's so many cats out there that can just rip people apart, but they refuse to do it out of loyalty and love.
The only way a cat's going to fight is if you back into a corner, and no burglar is going to do that. They all know the deal. Like, as long as I don't back that cat into a corner, I can do whatever I want in here.
Yeah, exactly. This house has very large rooms. The corners are far from each other. So I probably won't catch myself catching this cat in the corner.
Dogs know They know by the sound of an engine that that car doesn't belong when it pulls up in the driveway. They know the minute by the way you knock at the door that you don't belong there. And they go fucking ape shit until you let them know it's okay. And I love that about dogs.
Dude, there still takes some people 10 times to come over here before she stops barking at their ass.
Mm-hmm. Do you think dogs were back like that back in the day? Like, you always see those weird looking dogs in Egypt back in the day.
Oh, 100%. Dogs were bred for certain purposes. Minpins, they were lap dogs. Like, they rolled out in royalty on their arms. They were very protective, and they like caught rats and shit in the house. You know what I mean?
And rats were a big deal back then.
Yeah, they were a real big deal back then. I mean, rats were running rampant.
The houses weren't airtight like they are right now. Anything could come into your house back then.
And that's what this dog is, you know? You're in her domain. Have some respect. You know what I mean? When you show up, say hello. Introduce yourself. Let her know you're here for positive reasons only.
I might have to get another dog at some point. I don't know.
I think so. I think you should. It's not a... Obviously, it becomes a little bit of a cost here and there when you got to like get a vet bill or catch a little 1 week fucking kennel rent, you know, rent.
Mm-hmm.
They got to be at the doggy house for 3 or 4 days while you're on the road. Sometimes your friends can't watch. That's my last result or whatever. My last resort option is because it's still cool and all, and she gets to hang out with other dogs, but.
Yeah.
That's my last thing. I'll try to see if anybody homies that like to hang out with my dog want her to hang out. You know? Yeah.
That's what I need.
That's the real thing, is that the food and all that's cheap. I mean, it's just about those one offs here and there, you know? $300 at the vet out of nowhere, or a fucking $280 for dog sitting at the kennel.
My next dog, I'm not gonna feed it dog food. I'm only feeding it people food. I want to see what happens.
You mean just the stuff you cook?
Yeah.
A little bit of that hard food that they eat?
I don't think so. Just for their
digestive system?
I think I'll get it bones.
To keep it cleaned
stuff.
Out, that crispy shit, to just get through their shit and clean it, and so that you'll get a bunch of backup on their walls.
I'll get them treats.
Medical guessing by me.
I'll get them treats.
Okay.
But I think, you know, for the teeth cleaning and stuff like that, I'll get those things. But I want to see what a dog... how a dog does going its entire life eating what we eat. So if I, you know, I just buy, like, I'm cooking for two people, which you can't hardly buy for one person anyway. I always have too much food. Yeah. So I make a plate for me. I make a plate for the dog and see what happens.
I like it. I like where your head's at. Like, why not? You know, it's full experiment. And if it's all the healthy stuff anyways, it's good to go.
Yeah, but I mean, I would research what people
some food.
Some
sort of organic, harder the actual dog food, you know, or a lot of or plenty of nuts.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you want to just go full nuts on, just go nuts, and just also include a lot of nuts in your recipes.
Yeah, because I feel like we just as people decided that dog food was good for dogs. I mean, the dogs didn't decide. We just all of a sudden one day we were like, you know what? We should stop giving these dogs the food we eat. We should make fake versions of it and just cube it up in little crunchy bits and make sure there's no taste to it. That's what dogs need. And I think the dogs are like, fuck you guys. What happened to the table scraps, man?
My dog's tired of that shit.
Right?
She's tired of it.
Taste
bro.
Dog food? There's no taste to it. How do they make something and then there's no taste? Like, that's...
But the bags claim it's got salmon and potatoes and green beans. You're like, shut the fuck up, dude. So sweet potatoes and salmon and fresh trout and fucking ostrich. Relax, bro.
I think it does, but somehow you figured out how to get all that taste out of it.
Yep.
And I think that's a lot more work than you needed. You probably had to pay an extra taste removal guy to work at the factory that you didn't need to hire, because I think the dogs would have preferred you left the taste in it.
And I'll be honest, I don't think they really cover enough of the food. My dog eats celery. She'll eat carrot. I give her carrots all the time.
Carrots are real good for a dog.
Yeah, she eats cucumbers.
Mm-hmm.
She'll eat raw potato.
Yeah.
I mean, I give her everything. Anytime I'm cutting, when I'm cooking, like I think that she might like it, I hit her down. I hit it in her bowl.
See, and, that's a pro dog dad move right there. I mean, that's how you show a dog you love him. Like, look, I got something for you.
Yeah.
I'm not just up here, like, just fucking pleasing myself. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's a real fucking pro move. More, but I don't get why people are like, no, my dog cannot have people food at all. Like, my parents used to be that way. And I'm like, fucking, I'm give like it that. A carrot.
You mean like you give burger treats and shit like that.
No.
I give her food. You know, I'll hit her with a couple, you know, if it's like one of those like straight regular asshole potato chips, I'll hit her with a little bit of that. You know, I'll give her stuff, but not like part of the cheeseburger. Occasionally I'll walk maybe if it's a McDonald's fry, I'll cut one, but I'll basically just suck the salt off of it first and then let her have it. You know, like you wouldn't eat that because.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be, she's already going to be chubby ass. I don't want to be throwing a ton of that McDonald's sodium. She'll blow up look like a fucking real Doberman.
I will get a whole like kids meal where I used to do this for my dogs. And then I would like during the summer, and then I would set the kids meal out on the patio where it would get real hot for like 3 weeks and just let it really dry up. And then I would put it in a food processor and then grind it up into basically dust. And then I would put a little binder in there until I could cube it up and lay the little cubes out on a cookie sheet outside till they got really hard. And then I would give it to the dogs.
Wow.
Like that's,
that is
that's
a very intricate system by you. Mm-hmm. Where did you learn this dog food Happy Meal system?
I worked at Science Diet Dog Food Factory for a summer.
Oh, you worked there.
Yeah,
I forgot
Green,
about
Kentucky.
That.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty.
You were there. You were one of the top engineers for a little while. Didn't you basically set forward the direction of where dog food was going as far as chemically and nutritionally?
This was my big move. So I worked in the part of the line that, you know, all the little kibble bits would come out, the science, and I was in bagging for a while, like my first month there. I would just make sure that the bags were put in the conveyor thing, okay, and then it would move, and then basically it would dump itself into the bag, and then it would seal it up with the and then like the threader, because you know dog food has that threading thing.
I would
bring dog treats to the plant with me, and every bag that would go through, I'd drop a little biscuit in there. I'd be like, "You're welcome, dog." You know what I mean?
What a nice guy!
Or a little pepperoni. I would sometimes bring in pepperonis and just drop one of those in there, and like this dog's gonna get a little special treat.
Unknowingly to these customers, both human and dog, their dog food, you'd put a little treat in there in that bag, like kind of like fucking Cracker Jacks.
Yeah, I was like, yes, Cracker Jacks for dogs. That's exactly what it was. Because this is like diet dog food. I'm like, oh, these dogs are really going to be extra unhappy because their moms and dads are only buying this diet brand dog food. Mm-hmm. So here we go. Just a little fatten you up a little bit.
I'll tell you what, that's hero level shit, bro. All the while you were, oh, man.
Squeaky toys, put those in there, you know. Just anything I think a dog might like. So, you know, the squeaky little hot dog bun. That was I think
classic,
most of the dogs.
Classic.
Mm-hmm.
The squeaky hot dog toy. They should do a 30 for 30 on that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about a classic here. A staple.
Dogs' lives were changed forever with the squeaky hot dog toy.
When that came out, it was pandemonium. I went to a PetSmart when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
It was bonkers. It was like when the iPhone first came out.
Yeah.
Because dogs couldn't get enough, and the owners knew that, man.
I had a boxer once, and this fucker, every toy I ever got him, he would destroy it and try to eat it. Like, he didn't know the squeaky hot dog toy was a toy. Like, he literally ate the squeaky toy. Like, he would just
like a real hot dog.
Yeah, and just I would catch him. I would find the little rubber pieces everywhere, and I'm like, God damn it, he would eat like half the thing. Nothing ever slowed him down. I thought, well, he's just going to die one day of eating shit he shouldn't. But I would just find, like, you couldn't buy him anything, man. If you bought him a bone, he would sit there until his gums bled, you know, just trying to destroy that fucking bone. He wouldn't move until it was gone.
Again, like, that's that determination we need. You know what I mean? That's what we want. That's what we strive for.
I felt like he needed some Adderall, some doggy Adderall, because his focus was, like, fucking too keen.
If we could sew a couple of those Megan Fox thumbs onto this doggy. And by the way, I feel bad clowning on the thumbs, but I have this eye, so whatever. Feel free to tee off, Megan. But I think if that dog that would so determined, probably had major anxiety issues to get this shit done. I got to get this bone done. I mean, this bone has to be chewed out. I got to get rid of this bone.
It was definitely anxiety.
Get him
issues.
Some thumbs. Watch him work, dude.
Oh yeah.
Why can't we do that? If we could just sew random shit onto our hands that don't belong there, why can't we do it for dogs? Is there just because it's not there, like the muscle structure to having another part of a controlling aspect or whatever?
I think we'll see it in our lifetime. I think we'll start to put hands on dogs to help them be more useful.
How great is it going to be when we finally figure out how to communicate with dogs? Because I think that's going to happen too. That first dog that comes out onto the fucking Tonight Show set just sits there, tosses his leg up over his other leg, and just says, "Where do we start, Jimmy?" You know, oh, man. This dog is going to, who's going to be the first dog? It's going to happen, though. Google's going to do it. They got blind people being able to run without worry now.
Yeah,
I mean, that's insanity, dude.
These seeing eye dogs are fucking unreal. How do they know how to do all this stuff? I mean,
how do you train them? I'm so intrigued by dog training.
Yeah, it's like,
how do you make this fucking animal tell me that this person is having heart issues or sugar issues or is, you know, cardiac, or like, how do you train these dogs, dude?
And some of these, they're even specializing. So the ones that can detect that you're having a heart attack, right? They are also training them to land aircraft because they're selling them to pilots.
Okay.
That have
roll the back seat.
In case the pilot has a heart attack, they know it's coming. They get ready. And as soon as the pilot goes unconscious, they're pulling the pilot from the seat and then actually landing the aircraft. And I don't know how they're teaching these dogs to do this.
When you sent me this clip, and again, you have to be at a certain level of law enforcement to even understand to see the clip. You're in a different group, though, a group chat.
Right.
With high-end officials.
Yeah, I have a very long password, too.
Yeah, it's a very long password. And
three-step verification.
To see a corgi land at F-14, I was blown away.
Yeah.
And when I say blown away, I'm talking Nagasaki.
Like
blown away.
Blown away. I mean,
like
mushroom cloud blown away.
Like disintegrate dust. Nuclear blast blown away.
They're teaching dogs to do CPR now.
I saw a corgi land an F-14. A goddamn corgi. You see how little their feet are?
It's incredible. I mean, they're steering with their mouth. I mean, you just have to watch the video. You guys won't be able to watch it because you don't have clearance.
Yeah, you don't have clearance.
One day, it'll be privy to everyone. And I feel like at some point, you know, it's going to be like an Uber. So there are going to be dogs to specialize in for Uber drivers that have heart conditions, just in case, you know, just to grab. They won't be able to drive, but they'll be able to grab the wheel and hit the brake and bring it to a safe stop. You know, we're going to see that soon. I mean, it's. The technology is already there. The level of dog training is already there.
Between AI, between self-driving cars and corgis flying planes, I'll be set. I don't want to drive stuff, bro. I mean, listen, am I a wheel man? You're goddamn right I'm a wheel man. But that's not the point.
I'm over everyday driving.
I want to get into something, boop, on my phone, say, take me to blah, blah, blah. And then we just dip.
Yeah, I mean,
I want to take a nap, if I want to have a cocktail, if I want to just be on my laptop working, let me stop wasting time navigating through traffic.
That's the only bullshit, and that's why I can't wait for the autopilot Uber thing. Mm-hmm. The only bullshit about Uber right now is most Uber drivers, 97% of Uber drivers are not going to let you bring a cocktail into the car. And I'm like, come on, bro.
Come on,
I'm not
buddy.
Driving. What's
I'm
the
I'm in
big
the back
deal?
Seat, pal. Have a little respect for a cocktail, a pregame cocktail.
That's what I'm saying. So as soon as have we get the auto-driving Ubers, the self-driving Ubers.
No, your car. You're going to have your own car that does it.
I know, and I can't wait.
And then
I'm done with driving.
I'm over it, bro.
Like,
during COVID?
I wish
I had the kind of cash. I could get it one of them fucking Teslas, at least get a little autopilot in. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. During COVID, I have driven so little, and I've probably been in more Ubers than I have done actual driving.
Uh-huh.
I'm over it. I've just lost the desire to ever drive a vehicle again.
I like having the vehicle.
Self-driving cars.
But I want the car. I just go get out. I just go get it. There's some great companies that have, like, they're basically the trams. They look like the trams that are at airports and shit, mm-hmm. but that can fit only, you know, six people in it, but it's a drivable, it's a self-driving vehicle.
Yeah.
So you get in a little tram and you're out skis. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah.
So basically, at the end of the day, they're probably just going to privatize driving. And like eight companies are going to own the cars that drive us around. And we just type in where we go and it just comes and gets us. It's like a month, whatever it is. And that's it. It's Uber but with no drivers, it's just the vehicles driving around. None of you fucks can make any more money. We're no longer allowing capitalistic hustlers to make their side cash and Uber drive. We're going to go ahead and we're going to kidnap everybody and make you fucking do our companies. Don't get me on a soapbox.
I also want self-driving skateboards. I'm tired of regular skateboarders. And I don't even want
the electric one, dude. I have one.
I don't even want that. I don't want real people skateboarding. I'm over real people skateboarding. I want robots skateboarding. I want self-operating skateboards operated by
robots. What kind of robots are we talking about here? We're talking about like Terminator 2 type shit or?
No, I want them to only be like the quarter size of a human. That way we can still overpower them if they go bad. Yeah.
They can still be strong. I mean, that little. They can lift up cars. Look at a car jack.
True. True. It's true. But I'll feel better.
They can lift trucks.
Mm-hmm.
But and I do like where your head's at.
Yeah, I don't want live skateboarding anymore.
And we just have to have a universal manual override. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Universal manual override.
I mean, I can't wait until when you go to a zoo, there's no more real animals there. They're all robot animals that look real.
All robots. All robot animals.
Mm-hmm. Like Westworld. I want Westworld shit.
Here
I want to be able to
elephant.
Go live in a wild, wild West town for a month mm-hmm. for my vacation and go to the brothel, have sex with hot looking, you know, prostitute
Other
robots. And
yeah,
I want to be getting
yeah.
gunfights that I know I'm not going to lose. I mean, Westworld mm-hmm. is the dream. Yeah, they might go evil.
A few of those episodes.
They might get go evil and kill us, but until then, it's going to be a good ass time.
We're gonna we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Mm-hmm.
Such a classic line, so well placed.
Well, I put feel together. Like you know, and it, you know that saying didn't come about until we actually like built bridges. Like that's a scene that had nothing to do with just like the human spirit or a dilemma
that
you face as human beings. It was literally just like, oh man, we're standing here in front of this bridge and I don't really know what to say right now. So
it's
somebody,
like, wow, we're standing here right in front of this gap in between mountain pieces.
Mm-hmm. And now we have this thing that connects us, but I have nothing to say before going over.
Until they started crossing them,
mm-hmm.
couldn't even fathom saying, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Because you've had to already have about 50 to 80 bridges under your belt to even have the mind frame to think that up,
mm-hmm.
to drop that analogy.
That people were like, hey, all right, what do you think about crossing that bridge? You know, and they were like, well, you know what? Here's what I think is I'll cross that bridge when I get there. I mean, we're just sitting in my house right now. Why are we even talking about what's on the other side of that bridge? Why? I'm not even concerned about that bridge. I'm just sitting here right now at my house trying to, you know, figure out how to invent the TV or something, you know?
Yeah, cement stuff or something. Yeah.
I have an infection in my arm. I'm going to have to get my arm cut off by a sawbones here soon.
Yeah, by a dude at a lumber yard.
I'm not worried about that bridge. I'll cross it when I get there.
Yeah. If I can cross it, depending on how the surgery goes.
Yeah, it might take this leg. I may not be able to cross that bridge.
No matter how operational the bridge is.
Are we talking about a rope bridge? Are we talking about like a real bridge?
A drawbridge?
Yeah. First of all, tell me what I really honestly talking about.
What a flex it is, though, like to have a fucking moat around your crib and then have a drawbridge. How come no one's busted that off in Hollywood? Is there anybody right now that actually has a real drawbridge to their house to get over the moat and shit?
I don't know, but it's stupid that they don't. I mean, if you have like big movie, if you have LeBron James money, why does your house not have a moat surrounding it with a drawbridge?
I mean, that's the real front door, kid. Drop that down. That He-Man, that Castle Grayskull, back in the day, He-Man toys, the drawbridge came down. Come in, friends. Let's break bread. Come into my compound. It's a drawbridge you have to cross.
And I'll make my moat like a lazy river. I'll run pumps and circulate the water around like there's a current.
Yeah.
So we can just relax and sit in there and drink beers on a raft and go around the lazy river if we want. I mean, I'm not going to have alligators and shit in there because I don't want the liability. But
yes,
I will make it recreationally entertaining for people.
And you know what? You float around. You coming around turn three. What do you see? One of the homies coming. Guess what? Here comes Ricky, bro. And then the drawbridge comes down. And you get to see him as you float around the Lizzie River. And then Ricky comes driving into the fucking compound before he drops into his trunks, grabs a tube, and hits us. Meets us over on turn one of the lazy river.
Yeah, because at turn one, there's a little concession stand that sells the little cups of ice cream with the flat wooden spoons.
I'm telling you, I think it's time to start moving towards the castle again. Mm-hmm. I think everybody, I'm pretty certain that a lot of people had castles back in the day. I think need to go back to castles. Just get out. Listen, 40% of the West Coast is absolutely desolate and empty.
Let's fill it with castles.
It's not like the East Coast. The East Coast is full.
Mm-hmm.
West Coast, more than half, almost is half empty.
Yeah.
And we can go, we can grab some fucking land, build some castles.
Remember when, in the heyday, during that, about the time that, you know, castles were really big, remember how we used to have a lot of genies back then?
Yeah.
And
I always get compared to the fat one with the hair without no hair on his chin.
Yeah. And this is a good example of how people ruin everything, right? We used to have genies all over the place. Like all you had to do was find a little lamp and you rubbed it. Boom, there was a genie and you're getting wishes granted. And then we had one asshole who said, I wish all the genies were gone. And then boom, there were no more genies. Fuck that guy. Everything good that we've ever had, we have ruined it ourselves as a people. And now there's
can't
no more
trust
genius.
Us with shit. That's all there is to it, bro. Can't trust us with shit.
Christmas is tomorrow.
Yes, so, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, you know what? Give somebody the gift of Patreon. Our coffee sessions are crushing. We got some cooking sessions already on the books. We got our therapy session coming up. Get on board of the Patreon, homie. Guns Blazing Podcast.
It's its own product. It's its own content creation machine. There's always content for only people on Patreon. Check it out. It's a good time. Become part of the fam. There's all kinds of different price tiers. You don't got to break yourself. It's all what you want.
I mean, listen, people, get on board.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Let's get
Merry Christmas,
out of
guys.
Here.